Isn't it great to have Jeff back? Y'all welcome him back. Even though you didn't know I was there Saturday, that's okay. Oh, that's hurt my feelings. Hey, I was there in spirit anyway with you, buddy. So you, anyway, that's bless his heart. My goodness. But I guarantee you one thing, son. For me not to have been there, you sure did a great job of talking. Let me... Aren't y'all glad he's better? We love that guy. And I want to share with you as far as Jeff was thanking us for just loving him. And that's one of the great things about our church is people express their love so much. And so Dawn had shared this in just appreciation for the church family, for loving them and the loss of her grandmother, Gary Horton's mom and Dawn's grandmother, Joanne Horton. And this is what Dawn says. She says, "Thank you for all the calls and texts and prayers I have received in the passing of my grandmother. May God bless." And I love this verse. "We have all received one gracious blessing after another." And so she says, "Praying that God brings you many blessings for your kindness." Dawn Wages and family, thank you for that. This is a wonderful, isn't it great to let everybody know what you feel and for loving each other? And just like we miss Jeff and so glad to have him back because God uses him in a great way. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 12 as we see what God's got to say this morning. And y'all, let me tell you something. God has a word every time we meet. We just don't show up to be having church, let me tell you, just to be showing up. Got it? God has got a word. And if you've got it all figured out, I don't guess you need to come. You know what I'm saying? But I tell you, I need it. I need what he's got to say. And boy, you know, God's speaking on Wednesday night. He speaks on Wednesday night. We have a good group that shows up and in the middle of the week, and he's got a word. And he's got a word tonight as he talks about what you really, really need. What you really, really need. God said, "I got it." So I'm telling you something tonight. I want you to hear this. If you will listen to what God has to say tonight, it will save you from a lot of grief. Because he has what you really, really need. He said, "Well, yeah, salvation, of course. But it goes a lot deeper." And let's see what God has to say tonight. 6:30. And if you think you got it all figured out, don't worry about coming. Okay? 6:30. He's got a word. And he's got a word this morning. I just try to stay out of his way. Like he's already picked out what he wants to talk about next Sunday morning. He said, "You just stay out of my way, and I'll say what I want to say as long as I want to say it." And today he wants to talk about Acts chapter 12. There was a guy by the name of Peter, and Peter was a guy that had so much courage. You remember what he said to the Lord Jesus? He said, "Jesus, I am willing to go to prison with you. And I am willing to die with you." You know what he meant that? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, when those soldiers came from the temple and the Roman soldiers, along with those temple guards, Peter was the only one of the 12 disciples that took up a sword at the risk of imprisonment and death himself to defend the Lord Jesus. Everybody always talks about, because we gravitate toward the negative, right? True or false? We do that in journalism all the time. So we gravitate about what he did wrong, betraying, denying Jesus. But we forget that before that, he tried to defend Jesus. I'm willing to go to prison with you. And listen, as long as Peter was with Jesus, he was great. He was courageous. The most courageous of the 12. So Jesus died, was resurrected after Peter had denied him, and Jesus restored him, and the Spirit of Jesus came inside of Peter at Pentecost. And Peter preached powerfully. And he was so powerful in preaching about Jesus and calling people out for crucifying him that they arrested him 3 times. But he was unafraid. Because greater is he that what? Who is in us than he that is in the world. And he stood true to Jesus. It was during the 3rd imprisonment that Peter felt the greatest threat. Because Herod Agrippa the 1st arrested him for one reason in Acts chapter 12. He arrested him to kill him. He had already beheaded James, the brother of John, the son of thunder, one of the sons of thunder. And now he was going to kill Peter. And his family were good at killing. His grandfather had been the one that killed all the babies, thinking he could kill the Messiah, Jesus. His uncle had beheaded John the Baptist. So killing was in his family. And Peter was anticipating that in Acts chapter 12. We pick up the story this morning in Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. While he was in prison, at night, awaiting the certain outcome the next day, which would be a public trial, a mock trial, really. Because Herod had already determined what was going to happen. Because he wanted to please the Jewish people. It was during Passover. There were all kinds of Jewish people in Jerusalem. And he said, I'll really get the Jewish people to like me. And if they like me, then the Roman emperor will like me because I'm keeping everything at peace. And my grandmother will be proud of me because she was 100% Jewish. So he said, I'm going to do what I think makes them the happiest, to kill Peter. But while Peter was in prison, awaiting certain death, are you facing something in your life that is certain? That you are sure that when you wake up in the morning, that it is certainly still going to be there. While he was in prison, while he was chained to 2 Roman guards for 24/7, one on his right hand, one on his left hand, and they switched up every 6 hours. Herod was going to be sure that Peter would not escape. Because, you know, he'd already heard. On his 2nd imprisonment, Peter was in prison, and the angel of God came and released him. And they had no idea, the guards did, what had happened until the next day. And he was going to be sure that that wouldn't happen again. So there he was, chained to these guards. And the church prayed earnestly for him. The word earnestly means to strain. I remember when Jacob and I were playing football, we had this thing called a sled. You remember it? We loved it. Oh, it was wonderful. That thing was heavy. And then they would put people on it to make it heavier. You wish there weren't anybody on it. But if you had somebody on it, you'd have to strain and strain. Because Coach Suggs is trying to teach us how to block. Earnest, praying earnestly means to strain, to give everything you have in prayer. Let me ask us something. When is the last time you have really earnestly prayed? I mean, put everything you had in prayer. You know what? Here's all of us. Do you know why we work so hard? Get up on Monday mornings and go to work and work through the entire week because we're working for a reward. We're working for a paycheck. And it's amazing what we put into a paycheck. Have we ever tried praying that way? Look, check inside. What kind of prayer life do you have? Just you and God. It's just you and God right now. How much do you really pray? All of us, me included. And how, when we have issues, how earnestly do we pray about those issues? The word strain there is the same word that Jesus used when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he prayed that night and the sweat dropped off of him like drops of blood, and some would even say there was actually blood inside that sweat that dropped to the ground. Jesus was in agony. He was straining every fiber within him to pray. And Jesus said, when we pray, he says, pray with everything you have. Pray to God that you will not quit until he gives an answer, no matter what it is. That's the way the church is praying. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep. You'd think he'd be up, because what was going to happen the next day? He was going to be executed to death, but instead of worrying about it, he was actually asleep. And I mean in a deep sleep. He said himself, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. Humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, not your timing, but his timing, at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. He promises every single time, no matter what you're facing right now, no matter what your outcome on the next day, God promises if you will humble yourself and if you will completely depend upon me and strain every fiber of your soul after me, I will lift you up. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you. But let me tell you what, y'all. Everybody's got stuff. You got stuff you're worrying about this morning. Everybody's got stuff. But God said, whatever's got you bowed down, whatever's got you imprisoned, whatever has got you chained, God said, my power is mighty. And he says, so if you know that, this is what he said. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. There are countless people inside this church right now. Says, Chuck, that's right. Because I've had my imprisonments at night where I woke up in the middle of the night feeling the chains at my wrist, the chains on my soul. And I started praying. And Chuck, tell you what, I have prayed during those times like I have never prayed. And he brought me peace. I dare you to try it. I dare you to cry out to him. He will not let you down. Peter was asleep, facing the greatest challenge of his life. He was asleep. So as he was there, suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell. There's going to be a bright moon tonight. Do you know that? Tonight is Hunter's Moon. So if you want to get a chart, I love that stuff. Cooper, when he was little, he's still little, but when he was littler than he is now, I used to tell him, he was our first grandson, and I would tell him about the man in the moon. You know, there really is a man in the moon. And so Cooper would say, look, Poppy, man in the moon, when it was a full moon. Tonight's a full moon. It's most visible at night, even though the moon is up 24/7. The light of God is most visible at night, in the night of the soul. That's when we see Him best. Amen? I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He's there. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him. He was awake. I mean, he was very much asleep. And said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. You know the reason I think Peter was asleep? Because Isaiah said he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Let me ask you a question. Why are our troubles worth worrying about? Because they'll keep you up, true or false. They'll wake you up, true or false. But God said, if you'll put your mind on me, I will bring you perfect peace. Have you put your mind on Him? Peter did. That's why it took the angel a little bit to wake him up. God always shows up. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. And then what happened? They passed through the first guard. They didn't even know that the guards didn't even know they were there. And went through the second group of guards. Didn't even know they were there. And then there was an iron gate leading out of the prison, out into the city streets, and it opened all by itself. And Peter walked out. Peter finally came to his senses. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. God came through. Yeah, I'm telling you, I have told you, but let me tell you a little bit more intently about how God in our lives got directly involved on that rock road on just the other side of downtown Shannon. When my 12-year-old sister sat in that living room at night on that orange couch underneath which Clint hid his comic books so we wouldn't get them, but we got them anyway. She sat down on that couch at night, in the middle of the night. And Mother got up with her. As we were going through the second night of our soul and our family. Because Tim had died at 6 years old in our backyard, the safest place you can be. 2 years previous. That was a night for my family. And then Janice, so precious, sitting down there in that den, in that living room. And I believe with all of my heart that God sent those angels to see her. And she sat there just like you and I are talking right now. And she said, Mama, there's an angel right there. And the angel said, Mother, something bad is going to happen to this community after I'm gone. Two years after she left, Paul Johnson hollers out to Clint. Tornado! And God spares us, even though our community was destroyed. One of the things that God used about that angel, though, that's major in our family, is that my mother Donna Lee Vandiver Hampton got to thinking about church more. And Daddy too. And Mother asked Janice this. Janice asked him if it's okay for us to go to Doty Chapel. And she asked him, and she said, Mama, he said, it's okay. And I'm going to tell you, that's what started changing our family right there. At that little bitty church that's now got brick around it. Had three slats on the bottom and three slats on the back without an air conditioner. And that fiery preacher, Johnny Scribner, preaching his heart out. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, I remember exactly where I was. Probably five, where God was already working in our family. And Johnny Scribner says, God has shown me that two people are going to be called to preach in this church. And I remember being beside Clint. And having the question go through my mind, that'd be something if I was ever a preacher. That's all I ever remember him saying. But I believe at that moment that God was speaking into my life. And Janice was a part of that as we started the Doty Chapel while she was living. And then continued after she went to heaven. Because God spoke into our night. And my life and Bill's life. And Sandra and Clint and Mama and Daddy. Was not the same after that. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. And now you got Will sitting back there with his family. All because God made a visit in our night. Why don't you open the door to let God make a visit in your night instead of trying to take care of it all by yourself? You tried that. It hadn't worked out too well. Let him come into your night and change it. As you have the time of commitment, when you do, let me tell you, as he will continue talking about this tonight, he's not through talking about what happens when you humble yourself and say, God, I can't do this. Some of you have not got there yet. That's why you don't pray. The reason you don't pray is because you think you got this. You ain't got it. The Lord Jesus Himself, the night before Calvary, He took His three closest guys and said, guys, I ain't got this. He said, my soul is crushed. He said, I've never had to face this before. He said, will you face it with me? Will you pray with me? And he went over, and the Bible says that the Lord Jesus fell on his face to the ground. And he prayed. And he prayed like he had never prayed before. And he said, my Father, like you and I have prayed. Lord Jesus, please take it away. I know you've prayed that. Lord Jesus, please just take it away. And he prayed it three times. And each time he said this, but not what I want, but what you want. Because that's what's best, is what God wants. You have no idea what He wants for you till you come tonight and see what He's got to say. I don't know either what He's wanting to say. But He's got something. Do you want what God wants in your life? You'll never get it until you get to the point that you want it. And oh, what Jesus did. He got up from there. He said, let's be going. My time has come. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And now look what happened. A whole world, including you and me, our lives are changed because of what he did. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for our sins. You're raised from the dead on the third day, and you're coming back again one day. And we thank you that you, greater are you who's in us than anything we'll face in any jail cell of this world. The things that we have in our lives that imprison us, that you're greater than. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has never embraced you as the light of their life, may they do it right now. And just pray to him and just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you died for those sins. I know you're alive today. I give you my life. So, Lord, speak in this invitation. And we pray, Lord, in your name, as we stand together and sing, you come. If God wants you to come to move your membership, to recommit your life to him, to come and pray at this altar, or make the altar where you stand, or to come to say, Pastor Chuck, I prayed that prayer just now, you come on down and let me know. As we sing God's invitation.
You can search, you can buy, and try everything man made, but it cannot satisfy. It is Christ, only Christ, who gives life more abundant, and he calls from Calvary. It was there on Calvary, God's dear Son laid down his life for you. While there's time, don't delay, place your faith in Jesus. Turn your eyes now to Calvary. While the Spirit's clear voice can be heard softly pleading, give your life Jesus. Now,
you don't know him, give your life to him.
Trusting,
you know him, give your life to him.
Is the way to have life everlasting, and he calls. It was there on Calvary, God's dear Son laid down his life for you. While there's time, don't delay, place your faith in Christ Jesus. Turn your eyes now to Calvary.
Do you know what I love about Jesus? He can handle it. Amen? Yes, he can. Lord Jesus, thank you that you can handle anything and everything that we bring to you. Help us to bring it to you. And Lord, we pray in your name. Thank you for speaking today. And all God's people said, amen. Pastor Jeff, have a wonderful afternoon. See you at 6:30.